Let's just all take a few minutes to settle in together in this hall again. I know many of you have been through COVID testing today, so there might have been a little bit of stir up. So we'll just take a few minutes to sit together. Just taking a moment to check in with yourself in this moment. Is there a way right now, right here, that you could actually cultivate this contentment and this ease that we've been talking about? As we're moving in together with this practice period, is there a way that you could support yourself to come into a place of contentment, come into a place of ease. Releasing all the other things that may have happened here today and just coming into this moment. Softening into the body. Opening to body breathing. And an invitation for today to take in as much as is useful for you. And knowing that you can let the rest go. So ultimately you have the wisdom with your own practice at this point. And so to tune into what is useful for you. What are words that might be helpful? And what might be words and practice instructions that may not be of support for you right now? So good to be here with all of you this afternoon and to feel the stillness that's really coming into the hall at this point. Again, I don't know whether there's stillness inside of everybody's minds, but at least there's this sense of stillness as you come into the hall. You feel the deepening of the practice and the settling into the practice sort of midway through retreat. And again, what I think is so interesting about this practice and what I've had to learn and relearn so many times for myself is that in some ways it's so incredibly simple and also it's not easy, right? So again, we keep inviting our hearts and minds into this simplicity, into this place of letting go, into this place of unwinding, releasing all the complexities of our minds. And yet what we find as we make this invitation is that it's actually not that easy. There's a lot of busyness of the mind, challenges coming up in the body, all kinds of things that are making it really challenging for us to come into this place of just simplicity. So as several of the teachers have pointing to, we have such a deep training in multitasking, right? So that's the usual way that we use our minds is multitasking and having a lot of complex things moving through the mind in our daily lives. So again, it's not so strange with this deep patterning, this deep conditioning of our minds that as we invite it into simplicity, that it won't actually be that easy for us. It takes time and practice and patience to in some ways relearn those habits. Another layer to this difficulty is that often I would call it our own expectations of ourselves. And several of the teachers have talked about this, and I just want to add my voice. I have also really dealt with my own expectations around this should be easy. Like, why is this not easy for me? So that's another layer of complexity that comes in, that is that we come in with some expectations, and especially with the simplicity, we might have these expectations, this should really be easy. You know, I'm just supposed to sit down, find contentment, find my breath, and just stay with the breath or whatever our primary object is. And then we notice that it's actually not that easy. And then this layer of expectation adds another layer of challenge to our practice that we then have to become aware of, and we have to have skillful means with how to deal with our own habit patterns of expectations and sometimes high ambitions for ourselves. So that's part of what I want to address today and offer some ways to practice with this. So again, there's a habit pattern of the doing mind, of thinking we can work our way out or come to this simplicity by a lot of doing, a lot of efforting. But again, as several have pointed to, it's a process of surrendering, it's a process of releasing, it's a process of letting go that we're really inviting ourselves into. And just like we can't will ourselves to fall asleep, some people may have tried, I know I've tried, like, now it's bedtime, now you fall asleep. It's a matter of falling into sleep. And in the same way, it's a matter of sort of falling into this place of simplicity. And so that's why we can't make it happen. So what we can work with, as others have also pointed to, is the conditions around coming into this simplicity. We can't will our way in, but we can figure out what are some of the conditions that are going to be supporting this resting, this simplicity, this falling into this easefulness with the experience of breath and body. And one of the helpful conditions for supporting this simplicity, supporting this ease, is actually the qualities of metta, karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, these heart qualities, these brahmaviharas. They can be really supportive in establishing an atmosphere of ease within our heart minds, and also when then these expectations come in and these obstructions to this ease comes up for us, we have a remedy, we have a skillful mean for how to be with those, for example, expectations of ourselves. And the way that we want to offer it here in this retreat is in support of the concentration practice. And as Nikki talked about, there are these 40 objects, and actually the Brahmaviharas is one of the objects that we can use to cultivate concentration, to cultivate samadhi. The way we want to offer it here, because for most of you, you're working with the breath as your primary object, we want to offer these Brahmaviharas, these heart qualities, as you can think about it as a tone that we can infuse our awareness with, a tone of metta, a tone of compassion, a tone of mudita, a tone of equanimity. So we've talked a lot about how to be with the object of our experience. I think, I can't remember who did, it might have been Nikki, that showed sort of there's the objects that we're working with. You know, we're working with the breath. Sometimes we're working with hindrances. Sometimes we're working with emotions that are coming up. These are sort of the primary objects. But then there's also the knowing of the objects, the way that we are with the objects, how we meet the objects. And what we're offering here is how we can infuse this knowing with these heart qualities so that we can bring in a tone of kindness, a tone of gentleness, a tone of patience to the way that we meet the objects. So I think Philip talked about resting with, right? Not jerking, not manipulating the object, but resting with. Nikki talked about the feather being that really light touch. And those images is actually a really good description of awareness, of knowing infused with this quality of metta, this quality of kindness. Because again, metta has the patience, it has the acceptance, it has the allowing, it has this gentle, kind way that we can be with our experience. So there's one metaphor that I have found really helpful to think about this knowing infused with kindness. So it might be helpful for you as well. And I can't remember who shared it with me, so I can't quote the original person that shared it. But it's the image of the sun, right? So the sun. When the sun shines on an object, it illuminates, it shows all the details of the object, right? So think about the sun shining on, for example, a tree. You see all the little minute details of the tree because of that sunlight. But the sun also has a warming quality to it, right? And you can think about that as the heart qualities. And think about yourself standing in the sun, maybe not right now where it's so hot, but imagine sort of in the springtime when you've been longing for sun and you come out on that first sunny, warm day, right? So again, the sunshine might, again, illuminate, show, clarify, reveal something, reveal the details of the breath, reveal the details of our body sensations. And yet there's another way we can lean into the quality of the sun, and it has this warm, softening, melting quality to it. And that can be that quality of metta, again, of this knowing, this awareness infused with heart, meeting our experience, softening, melding, gentle with, patient with. So when this quality of metta meets suffering within our own heart minds, or connects with the suffering of some other being, this quality of metta naturally turns into compassion, naturally turns into karuna. So this karuna quality, this compassion quality, in some ways is just another aspect of this quality of metta. It's the metta heart meeting suffering and responding with compassion in the face of suffering. So the qualities of compassion, and karuna again is the Pali word for compassion, there's a recognition of here is suffering, and then there's a natural wish to relieve the suffering, to respond to the suffering, to offer some remedy for the suffering. But it's not a need for the suffering to go away. So that's a really important thing to know about karuna, to know about compassion, that actually compassion can rest with, open to, be okay with suffering. It's not aversive, it's not reactive, it's not trying to get rid of suffering, but it can hold and open to and be with suffering. But in that being with, there might be this natural, and what would be a remedy? What would be a way to respond that would relieve this? But again, without a contraction around it needing to disappear. And we may know this from being with a really good friend, right? So a good friend, when we share something difficult with a good friend, a good friend doesn't try to fix our problems. A good friend really listens, right? And often it's not in the fixing, advice giving, you should be doing this. That can be helpful too, but most often the remedy is actually in someone offering that attunement, offering that listening, offering that space of being with us in that place. And what's really amazing about Karuna is that when we offer this to ourselves, or we offer it to others, or they offer it to us, what we connect with is really this interconnection. Because what we feel is like, okay, this suffering, I'm not alone. This is part of our human conditioning. This is part of this human experience, that we all have our own versions of suffering. Basically the same, but just different versions of it. And so when we open to Karuna and this vulnerability, this inherent vulnerability, often there's this sense of, you know, wow, and I'm not alone. We're all in this together. We share this together. So when I think about the qualities of compassion and how I feel it for myself, it has a really sweet quality to it. And actually it can have an uplifting quality to it. So the image that comes to my mind when I think about compassion often is like when it's been really dry and there's this sweet rain and it's moving down through all the dry cracks in the earth, softening, moisturing, supporting new growth by it sort of moving in. And often I feel that within my own body-mind, when compassion is available, it touches into all of these dry cracks inside. And there can be this moisturizing, this sense of soothing, this sense of this deep remedy inside. Another part of compassion can be that it can have a courageous energy to it. And part of it is that while it connects with suffering, compassion itself is not a suffering state. This is really important. Again, if you think about the objects that we're paying attention to, and it might be a difficult mind state, difficult emotion that we're becoming aware of, oh, here's suffering. But then the compassion itself is the response to it. So compassion itself is not the suffering. Compassion itself is the meeting the suffering. And when we rest back, again, if you think about it rocking back and forth, we feel into the suffering. Yes, this is painful. We feel it, and then there's this response of compassion. And when we then lean back into compassion itself, it has this quality of sweetness, this quality of courage, this quality of I think about it as very empowering. Because often we are so afraid of our pain. I know that in my own heart, you know, I cringe around pain. I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel this pain. This is too painful. But actually what I've discovered is that compassion can continue to grow as we meet our own pain, as we meet our own suffering. And it has a courageous quality. And part of the courage is that we get to see for ourselves that that there's another way to respond. And that builds courage. I can be with this. It's okay. And I'm not alone. I just wanted to briefly talk about a very strong habit pattern for many of us, and that's the habit pattern of the inner critic, or this self-judgment that many of us know really well. So again, it's not that we can find an inner critic inside and say, there they are, but it's a habit pattern. It's a conditioned response that many of us are really familiar with. And in daily life, we may notice it as wanting to fulfill really high expectations, a sense of perfectionism, always needing to do better, perform better, do more. And we may not notice it in our daily lives because we do so much to fulfill these inner expectations that we can't even feel the voice of that the inner demand because we run so fast. And then when we don't meet those inner expectations, then often the inner critic turns to more of a self-berating voice, right? So there's these high expectations. As long as we try to fulfill the expectations, we can keep it at bay, and we run and we run and we run, but we can never win because they always keep moving you know, always have to do more, be more, perform better. And then when we can't do it sometimes, we're tired, we burn out, then often that voice becomes really punishing or really harsh, and it's incredibly painful. And the conditions of retreat, for some of you, you may have noticed this, this voice often comes up, this voice of inner criticism, because, you know, we're not running so fast, so this habit pattern might show up for us. And that's where actually responding with compassion, with self-compassion, can be incredibly helpful for us. Again, so we're not meeting that pattern with harshness, but when it comes up, we have another response, another way of being with ourselves. Even in the face of that voice, we say, okay, there it is, that voice, that usual pattern. Can I soften around it? Can I bring compassion to it and say, okay, this is painful. This is what pain feels like. Can I meet this moment with self-compassion? So let's move into a sitting practice together. And again, an invitation to take in as much or as little as you wish from this practice together. And again, if you just want to continue on with the simple breath practice, feel free to do that and let just the words sort of flow by. So taking a moment to come into a comfortable, still posture, whether you're sitting or lying down, but allowing this body in this moment to settle in. And as Philip would say, take some time to arrive. Just in this moment, letting yourself arrive. Coming out of the sort of that other way of listening and coming into inner listening. Tuning into your own being in this moment, your own breath, your own body. And perhaps asking yourself again, if right now, if I'm just arriving into this moment with gentleness, with patience, how might I support this sense of contentment in this moment? Noticing the body. Noticing body breathing. And letting the knowing of this be gentle like a feather, like the hand just gently resting on the knowing of the breath and the body. Perhaps just with this very gentle knowing of your experience, you can tune into this quality of metta, this quality of friendliness. Not expecting a big, warm, fuzzy feeling, but just an invitation, an inclination to be gentle with your experience in this moment. May there be gentleness. May there be patience and kindness. Welcoming all parts of your experience in this moment. with this attitude of friendliness. Knowing breath, knowing body. And knowing it with this quality of metta. Maybe there can be this sense of breathing with metta. Feeling the breath in your heart area. Inviting metta into your breath. Breathing in with metta, and on the out-breath, letting that quality of metta infuse the body, softening, meeting all parts of yourself. Letting all parts of yourself be welcomed. It's helpful for you. You may support this quality of metta by a very simple phrase, for example, may I love myself just as I am in this moment, just right here, right now, good enough. Breathing, allowing, opening to, befriending. And then the possibility of, if at any point any challenge shows up in your heart mind, not looking for it, but if a pain in the body really becomes predominant, or some tangle in the mind, or some emotion. Letting this quality of metta transform into this active care of compassion. Recognizing, oh, here's something painful. This is what it feels like. And just like you would sit down with a good friend going through something really difficult, sitting down with yourself, not fixing, not judging, just being with. and letting your body and breath support you in this process of being with. Part of that sweetness, part of that courage of compassion, to be able to make space for it, be with it, breathe with it. This is how it is. I care about this pain inside. And perhaps as you turn your attention to what's painful and you meet it with compassion, you may experience that there's a wave of bigger pain, a bigger emotion moving through. Just like a friend might actually begin to cry or share more as you give them your full compassionate attention. That may be true for yourself as well. Again, finding your breath, finding your body. If possible, making space within yourself to let this wave move through. And also learning the skill of not staying longer with something painful than what is needed in the moment. But perhaps as that wave moves through, also knowing when to come back again, just to the simplicity of just feeling your body and feeling your breath. Breathing in and breathing out. Perhaps coming back to this quality of metta. May I care about myself, may I love myself just as I am in this moment. coming back again to the simplicity of knowing your breath. And letting the way that you know the breath be kind and patient and steady. Inviting, inclining towards this quality of metta. And then allowing this quality of metta to transform into compassion. Whenever something painful becomes predominant in your experience, perhaps the whisper of high expectations, judging yourself, demanding something of yourself other than what's actually happening. Can you soften around that? Notice that voice, notice that energy. Notice how it might be felt in your body, in your heart. And then inviting yourself to release the story. And just coming into caring for what it's felt like inside. Perhaps putting a hand on your heart. As a way of responding, as a way of caring. Feeling that capacity inside. To meet whatever is difficult inside with this quality of compassion. Can you feel the strength, the potential of strength in this? This potential of developing this capacity to meet your experience with this quality of care. These last minutes of our sit together. Again, coming back to just the simplicity of knowing breath. Or reconnecting with the object that you're working with. If this feels like a wise invitation for you, taking a few moments and just breathing with metta for self. Breathing in with kindness. Breathing out with kindness. And perhaps including all your fellow practitioners. All of us here with this friendliness. Wishing for ease and safety and well-being for all of us. Thank you for your practice. So now we have time for a few questions. Taking a moment to see if there's any questions that's bubbling up for you, and I'll do my best to respond.
So, I know how to do loving kindness practice. But is there a set of phrases for karuna that you can give us?
Thank you. The question was, is there a set of phrases for karuna, for compassion, that would be helpful? And traditionally, there's only one phrase, which is, may I be free from suffering, or may you be free from suffering. So that's sort of the traditional or classical phrase that's being offered. It's not like with metta, there's often several ones, but with the karuna, there's just this one phrase. So people often use that phrase, or you might have a variation, may I be free from pain, or I care about this pain, I am open to this pain, I wish to take care of this pain. So there might be different variations, but I would encourage you to experiment and see, you know, what would be a way that you could, that would evoke this caring for your pain and this wish to relieve the suffering without getting rid of it. So. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
All right. You know how they say that the way that you treat yourself is the way that you treat others? Or I've heard that said. I think sometimes I can be so disconnected from my own worth that it's hard for me to really act with love toward others, even though I want to. And I guess I'm curious how to use acceptance and compassion when my harm to myself is also causing harm to people I love.
Thank you. I think that's such a I can really recognize and know this patterning inside of this harshness towards self, and how it really, in some ways, can close down our capacity to even feel other people, because we're dealing with so much inner pain that that it's actually hard to be available to others. So I think a really good way is to, in some ways, release our own expectations of being able to be there for others and offer a lot to others, and say, I need to take the time to really work on my own self-relationship and really support myself to come into more acceptance with myself, and then trust that out of that, you know, there might be more capacity to be with others. So often the Buddha has talked about, with metta practice, that it's really important to start with self. Right? So we are actually invited to spend a great deal of time really cultivating this kindness and care and acceptance with our own being before we're even invited to offer it to others. So it's an invitation to release any judgment that might be around it. Again, I'm not sure, but often there's a patterning around, I should be kinder, I should have more empathy, I should be more caring. And in some ways, if we can release that patterning and say, you know, this is actually how it is, and how can I take the time to support my own heart to come into more kindness and acceptance.
So. Thanks.
I think we just have time for one more.
I've observed when I'm applying the metta practice to myself, there's this quality of softness, and it feels like I'm wrapping myself up in a blanket, and I feel very sleepy. And it's so soft, it's so cozy. And so in this practice, I tried to think about, well, what can I think about that's going to bring energy to this loving feeling. So I thought about my dog, who loves to bark a lot and is very energetic. But then I started going down the storyline about my dog. And so I'm kind of wondering, how do I bring energy to this very warm, soft feeling so that I don't have the sleepy feeling without getting caught up in the story?
Thank you. So the first thing I want to say, and this may not be true for you at all, but I know again from other people and my own experience that sometimes, again, when this friendliness meets our experience, then often sometimes we get to feel maybe a deeper tiredness. Right? So again, I don't know if that's true for you, but again, it's this, okay, finally we're listening, we're tuning in, we are bringing this friendly care. And with that, it's like, oh, I'm really tired. You know, so something can be felt that we may not have been able to feel into in our daily life because we haven't had that that metta quality, that attunement. So again, I don't know, that could be part of it. But also it can have a really soothing, warming, settling quality that can have a bit of that sort of, oh, I just want to wrap myself in a warm blanket and fall asleep. And it's a little bit what Temple talked about, I think he used the chocolate. So it has a lot of soothing, calming, tranquilizing, and maybe not enough of energy. If you're working with phrases, you know, in some ways imagining that you're saying the phrases louder in your mind, that might bring some energy. if you're working with an image like your dog, I know your mind sort of wandered off, but you know, working on making the image more with more details might be one way that you can sort of bring in more energy. So those would be things I would, so it's like getting a little bit more active with your practice, right? So there's the soothing, warming quality, but also how can you bring in a little bit more active component to it? And that can be through making those adjustments. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So we're out of time. So wishing you a good afternoon and wishing you a good continued practice. And see you all later. Bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.